Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Melville. It is good to be together to worship God this morning. Would you please stand for the call to worship?
Come, let us worship God. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, who are we that you are mindful of us, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas.
Let us pray. Creator, we praise you. Through your word and Holy Spirit, you created all things. You reveal your salvation in all the world by sending us Jesus, your word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Fill us with a vision of your glory that we may always serve and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. As we worship together, create us anew. Reclaim our hearts and move within us and through us as we pray, remembering that even though Jesus prayed that we would be one, we confess that we often fail to live in unity with each other and with you. We break our communion through unkind words and actions. Forgive us, Holy One. We long for your Spirit to heal us and correct us. We long for you to help us experience unity with you and with each other. Dependent on your grace, we commit ourselves to live more fully in the unity you desire, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption. It is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are called children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Children of God, hear the good news. In Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all forgiven. Thanks to the triune God. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. Now, if I say the word Trinity, does anybody know what that means? All right, preacher's kid, take a guess. It does mean three in one. Very good, because if we think about the word tri, we've got three, right? Like a triangle has three corners and three sides, right? Or a trident, right, would be a fork with three prongs on it, right? So we've got three. We understand three. And don't worry, if you don't know what Trinity means, you can look around, because adults in the church also have trouble explaining what Trinity means. Even preachers have trouble explaining what Trinity means. So we're all in this together. Trinity Sunday helps us to think about what the Bible tells us about God. Trinity Sunday reminds us that God is the creator, and that even though Jesus is God's son, Jesus is also part of who God is. And God sent the Holy Spirit to be with the church always, but the Holy Spirit was with God right in the beginning. If we look at the start, When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God was over the waters. And so we talk about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and suddenly we have three all in one God. Is anybody confused yet? Right? Okay. I brought my handy dandy pool noodle today. Okay? The church, from the very beginning, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, well, 2,000 years, has been trying to understand a good way to understand the Trinity. So if you picked up a worship bulletin today, you probably saw a symbol like this, which is really helpful in seeing how they overlap, right? And it's kind of in that triangle shape. And one of the things that I like to remember about triangles is that triangles are really strong shapes, right? Have you guys done that in school yet, in science class? Triangles are really strong shapes because they support each other. Mm-hmm. So the Western Church, believe it or not, we sometimes refer to ourselves as Western and Eastern, often uses a triangle when we talk about the Trinity. And that makes sense, right? Because we've got three in one, right? The Eastern Church uses a different shape. Does anybody want to take a guess what shape the Eastern Church might use to talk about three in one? Not a triangle. What would be another shape that we might use to describe three in one? What if I tell you that I take this straight line, one pool noodle, and I bend it and I connect it, and if I didn't want to be able to use the pool noodle again, I would get my Gorilla tape and I would tape it together really well. What shape do I have now? Cool. What can you tell? Yeah, it's a little oblong, but that's all right. What do we know about circles? Circles have no beginning and no end, right? Have you guys seen the Dyson vacuum commercials? You know the Dyson where they're on the ball and so they can turn and do all of these, they can go in any direction? I know, you guys watch TV without commercials. I don't know what we're going to do. So the great thing about a circle or a ball is that it can go in a lot of directions. It doesn't have to just go forward and backward and sideways. But a circle has no beginning and no end. And some churches talk about the Trinity this way, that not that they're all three separate sides, but they're actually all along here. And they continue and they move in and out with this center of God. And I think that the circle is actually a really helpful shape for us to think about the Trinity, because it reminds us that there's no beginning and no end. Sometimes the way we tell the church story and our faith story, we think about God creating the world. That's what God did. God created the world, right? And then we get to Christmas, and baby Jesus is born, and now we've got two. We've got God and Jesus. And then we get to Easter, and Jesus dies for our sins and rises. And it's so exciting, hallelujah, because Jesus has conquered death. And then at Pentecost, which was last week, what happens? We've got God, we've got Jesus. What happens at Pentecost?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, thank you. So we kind of separate them all in the church year. But I think a circle is really helpful for us remembering that just like the church year goes around and around and around, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all connected, and they are always with us, and they are always working from the very, very beginning, all the way, forever and ever and ever. Amen. So that is church math, three in one, one in three. You can now impress your friends. Let's pray with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we come to hear God's holy word, let us pray. Holy One, we thank you that you are always with us, that throughout time you have come to your people to challenge and encourage. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit today that we might hear the word you have for the church, not only hear, but understand, not only understand, but live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading today is from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The second reading is from John 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
So today is Trinity Sunday, in case you didn't catch it. It's one of those kind of odd Sundays in the church. It's traditionally celebrated this Sunday, 1 week after Pentecost, and it marks the acknowledgement that all three persons are now in play, as it were, all three persons of the Trinity. But as I said to the kids, it's not as though the Holy Spirit just showed up last Sunday, or even the day that it blew through the room where the disciples had gathered. What we actually acknowledge on Trinity Sunday is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist from eternity to eternity, which actually makes today's service kind of special, where other services like Christmas, Good Friday, and Pentecost are tied to specific events. The celebration of the Trinity is linked with church doctrine, and this is the moment where we all go, ooh. I know, right? It's hard to contain your excitement when the pastor wants to talk about church doctrine. Church doctrine, in other words, the way that the church understands what Scripture tells us about God is and how we live that out as a church. And we started the service today in what I think is probably one of the best ways to start unpacking this, with one of the most celebrated Trinitarian hymns of the church, Holy, Holy, Holy. If you put 100 people in a room, they don't even have to be church people, really, and you ask them to start naming traditional church hymns, I can almost guarantee that within the first five, maybe 10, you will hear the words holy, 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 because it's just so familiar. It was written in the very early 1800s by Anglican priest and later bishop Reginald Heber. It was not necessarily because it's a favorite that it's just so familiar, right? It's not even that it's necessarily imparted great knowledge, because the Trinity can be so difficult to explain. It's not always difficult to understand, but it can be hard to explain in a way that connects. But Holy, Holy, Holy is so familiar. And it captures the mystery, the power, and the beauty of God three in one in a way that many hymns don't quite manage to do. It's one of those rare hymns that appears in just about every Christian hymnal, regardless of denomination. It's often sung on Trinity Sunday, but it's generally appropriate throughout the church year. And it's so popular and so familiar that even churches who do not hold a Trinitarian theology or doctrine, and there are churches like that, that they've found ways to include it in their worship also, but they change some of the words. The original lyrics that we sang today capture a lot of what we seek to accomplish in our worship as a church, not just on Trinity Sunday, but in our worship lives as a whole. We are a church that baptizes in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our worship is not only directed to the triune God, but enabled by the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the mediation of Jesus Christ. It is at its very best when our worship is an expression of the unity and common purpose of the church, which Jesus prayed would reflect the unity between himself and God. So we worship three, seeking to be one, as Jesus was with God. And the original lyrics of the hymn capture so much of what we try to accomplish in our worship. If you're a little confused, don't worry, you're not alone. And even if we consider the words of this hymn and so many other Trinitarian hymns, you'll notice that it's not all that clear in them either. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we're all good right up to there. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. The first verse gets us to the big picture. And then we end off each of the verses and the choruses adding more to what we understand, who we understand God to be, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. See, understanding the Trinity is really easy. Or at least it's as easy as our scripture readings today make it sound, which is just as powerful and just as mysterious, if not any more clear. You'll notice in the readings today that even though both of them cover many facets of God's identity, you will not find the word Trinity there. And in fact, you won't find the word Trinity anywhere in scripture. You won't even find this whole idea that the church has constructed. If you think about the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Holy Spirit, right? We break it down for ourselves to keep it nice and organized. And if you read the whole of scripture, you're not going to find it in that nice systemic way. It's just not there. Because while we try and organize it, that's not the reality of who God is, and that's not the reality that Scripture tells us God is. There's so much connection and interplay. Paul takes five whole verses to capture the inescapable connection between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the cyclical nature of their united identity. Jesus manages to do it in four verses, but maybe it's a little easier since he is one of the three persons of the Trinity. But it doesn't take them long to start describing God's action for the world and within the world to use all three persons of God. So whether we read Paul or whether we read Jesus' words to his disciples just before the crucifixion, we're not necessarily going to find a clear and organized picture of the Trinity, not that the church has not tried. And as I told the kids, while the Western Church has often taken that organized triangular shape, even if we round off the corners, the Eastern Church has used the circle, which depicts this circular dance and interplay of three persons, or a divine choreography, if you will, because the circle doesn't sit at rest ever. A circle is always in motion. Author C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, uses the imagery of dancing to describe the very life of God. This God who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Lewis states that God is not a static thing, not even a person, but a dynamic, pulsating activity, a life almost a kind of drama. Almost, he says, if you will not think me irreverent, a kind of dance. Lewis, in the tradition of Eastern mystics, uses the imagery of a dance to explain the very life of God, that this love and movement between the three persons. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are eternally pouring love, joy, and adoration into each other, just like partners in a dance. Lewis continues by saying that this divine dance matters more than anything else in the world. The dance or drama of the Trinity's life is played out in each one of us. Joy, power, peace, and eternal life are a fountain of energy and beauty spurting up at the very center of reality, he describes. If you, like me, are a hopeless dancer, and this illustration just doesn't do it for you, you might find it helpful to think back to high school chemistry and the way that we draw atomic diagrams as though they were a static thing on paper. You know, you put the neutrons and the protons, and you make sure they balance, and then you've got these electrons. And when you draw it on paper, you get the electrons at north, south, east, and west, and they don't move. They don't move at all. But we know in reality that they never stop moving. The atoms and the molecules are constantly in motion, swapping electrons and shifting things around as needed, yet always maintaining the necessary balance for the situation. But knowing that dance is significantly more accessible metaphor for most of you, we'll stick with C.S. Lewis today, and we'll leave my high school chemistry to the side. But for those of you who don't dance, I hope that that's maybe a more helpful way of thinking about the dynamic interplay that we're dealing with whenever we talk about the Trinity at the same time. In the three persons of the Trinity, we see this divine dance of love that encompasses the full nature of God. And that's what we see if we read carefully through the readings today. In the very short reading from John, Jesus describes the deferential and loving rationality of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus tells the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit who would come and lead them into all truth, but not a truth that is unique to the Spirit or divorced from Jesus and the Father, but a truth that is rooted in Jesus himself, who earlier had declared that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Meanwhile, the Spirit's job is not to glorify itself, but to glorify Jesus. And since all that Jesus has belongs to God the Father, the Spirit also glorifies the Father. And so it's here in the shadows of Gethsemane that we get a deep glimpse of divine life. We get a glimpse into the love that the Father has for the Son, of how the Spirit of God relates to the other persons, and how the Son receives the love of the Father, and how the Spirit shares that love and life with us, God's adopted children. It is an inescapable, life-giving circle without end, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Jesus' farewell discourse in John, which is where our reading today comes from, is one of the few places in the Bible where we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit acting distinctly. And so it's one of the few places where we get a full glimpse of the divine interaction, the divine dance that C.S. Lewis talks about that is the life of God. Love and joy are poured forth at creation as the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the waters. And it is this continual dance of love and joy that we are all created to participate in as we care for creation and as we care for and love each other. We were all created to enter into this dance as well. We are invited in at our baptisms. To be baptized means to follow Jesus into the life of God. To follow Jesus into the dance that we have all been destined and created for from the very beginning of the world, this relationship of love and joy and hope, which is rooted not only in God the Creator, but also our Redeemer and our Sustainer. In love, Jesus stretches out his hand and invites us in. To receive the teaching and the truth of God he promises through the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and to receive that power and truth and praise of the Holy Spirit, to understand the limitless love of the Father in our lives. We are invited to pray in confidence that the Spirit intercedes for us, even as Jesus teaches us how to pray. We are invited to do justice and seek righteousness in the knowledge that God grants us strength through the Spirit to do it in the ways that Jesus showed us. We are invited to dance and to sing and to praise with its center in God. If you're still thinking that this whole Trinity doctrine is about as clear as mud, don't worry. You are in excellent company. And everyone who has tried to find a clear way to explain that which cannot be explained is right there with you. This is the truth of our faith, that we do not know all and we do not see all, but we worship a God who does. Ultimately, it is by knowing and following Jesus that we come to know and experience and understand more and more about the way that the Trinity is in our lives, that God is in our lives. As we grow into the full stature of Christ, as our communities are knit together as the body of Christ, the truth of God's life will permeate our common life together. It fills us up so that we can't help but join in this divine dance, this outpouring of love in our life together, so much so that it spills out into the world around us. The challenge and the joy in that, though, is that just as we are invited into this life, we are also called to reach a hand out to the neighbor, the stranger, the enemy, and invite them to join in. We don't get to say, "I'm sorry, my dance card is full." As we serve the poor and those in need, we reach our hands out in love, inviting all to come and see the boundless generosity of God. As we pray for the sick and those who are dying, we are reminded that there is no one too infirm to join. That all are remembered, that all are included, that God knows each one of us by name, and God's dance card is never full. As we stand up and advocate for justice against systems and institutions that are oppressive, we reach out our hands to our neighbors and invite them in to the life of God that values and respects all life. All are welcome to join the outpouring of God's love made known to us in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we confess our sin and reconcile with those we have injured or offended, we show the world that the answer to hatred and division is not more war and violence, but the reconciling love that God has of God that has been revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So as you go this week, And you meditate on the power and the mystery, especially the mystery of the Trinity. Remember that just as a dance is full of steps and full of music and full of joy and full of drama, so too is a life of discipleship. So too is a life following Jesus. A life following Jesus, living into God's love, is a life in which the Spirit empowers us. God is constantly renewing, and Jesus offers us love and hope and life. We are called to this dynamic, sometimes confusing, always moving, always learning life of discipleship, following the Son of God, Jesus, the one who invites each and every one of us into the eternal and life-giving dance. Amen. Holy God, Holy One, and Holy Three, we bless you for bringing us into communion with you, for offering us the same unity in love that you share as the Blessed Trinity. Help your church in all its branches discover the unity for which Christ prayed. May our unity in Christ show the world how to overcome divisions and enjoy the diverse gifts you have created in us. By your Spirit, equip us to explore unity in diversity through local mission and ministry. God, three in one, hear our prayers. God of one loving heart, draw the human family together in the love that unites us with you. We pray for our nation and our local communities in this time when different experiences and opinions so easily divide us. Where we have acted without regard for the needs of others, inspire us to work for justice and fairness. Where we have been blind to the pain of the oppressed, open our eyes to the opportunities for reconciliation and caring. Guide the people of Canada to establish relationships of mutual respect and honor with each others, and particularly with Indigenous communities, as we all celebrate our diverse gifts together. God, you wear the many faces of hope. We pray for all who feel despair or anxiety in these challenging days. Lift up in love those who find their illnesses to be unrelieved. Comfort those who grieve the loss of someone dear or some important community, an opportunity. Support those who are denied dignity by the attitudes or actions of others, and sustain those who long for healing of any kind. Hear us in this time of silence as we name before you those who are on our hearts and minds this day. May they know your loving care, upholding their lives. And let our prayers never be reduced to simply thoughts and prayers. Let us be encouraged to action where we may. God, three in one, you have shown us what it is to be community. Thank you for the gift of community, of family and friends, for church and neighborhood. Thank you for the fellowship that we share here in our congregation. We pray that you would continually strengthen us as we strive toward faithful worship, and equip us for service in your name in these changing times and challenging days. We offer our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, as the Spirit prays within us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.